This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, everybody, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 6th, episode 1294, brought to you by our friends at Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I apologize for my cold. I will do the best I can today. Jamie, yesterday we had the Australian episode, and we talked about the Melbourne Cup. And, of course, there's a lot of fun stories about the Melbourne Cup, including the jockey and, you know, the whole story behind the jockey and all of that. Well, one of the things that happened in the Melbourne Cup is that female jockey, the first one to ever win the Melbourne Cup, who is making international headlines now. I noticed she was on the Huffington Post this morning. She was riding a horse by the name of Prince of Penzance. Well, Prince of Penzance, for some reason, I don't even know how this happens, went off at 101-1 odds. I always thought 100 was the top. I don't know how. Does that mean people bet and then took it back? I don't know.
I know. It's like they return their money. I always thought it was 99-1 was as far as you could get. What do I know?
I always thought 100-1 meant nobody bet. Like there was no bets at all on that horse. But I don't know how this works.
It's Australia. I mean, everything's weird there. Money is different.
Backwards, the toilet's flush backwards. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, there's this lady named Chantelle. She's from Perth, Australia, who bet on Prince of Penzance. $20 she put down on Prince of Penzance to win and ended up winning $825 for her $20 bet. Well, she was so excited. Apparently, she did this. I don't know if she did it off the track or away from the track or whatever, but she was so excited. She posted. Oh, no, she was at the track. She posted on Facebook a picture of her holding up the winning ticket before she went to cash in the winning ticket. Well, one of her quote-unquote friends on Facebook saw that, printed it off really quick, went over to one of the, I don't know how he printed it off, or maybe he just used the photo. Maybe he just used the photo on his phone. Well, the barcode was showing very clearly on her picture. He took that barcode, went over to one of the automated machines that you were trying to teach me to use, scanned the barcode, and collected her $825.
Oh!
So when she went to cash her ticket, it was already been cashed.
Oh, can you imagine standing in the window going, give me my money? I'm sorry, this has already been cashed. No, it hasn't.
She contacted the police, and the police are investigating. They know where the ticket was cashed, and they're looking for surveillance video now, of which one of her lovely friends from Facebook cashed her.
So they don't know who did it?
Not yet, but they're looking.
Oh my gosh. You know what? Sometimes selfies are not the best idea.
No, you can do the selfie after, maybe with the cash in your hand. Maybe
that'd be a better idea. There you go. Because I posted a bunch of tickets that I had won, but I held them out like a fan, you know, when I went to Santa Anita and I kicked Del Mar and I just won everything. Yeah. Fanned them out, but my thumb covered the barcode.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Thumb covering barcode. If you win the lottery, same thing. Don't do it with your ticket, okay? So, same
thing.
He
will steal from you. Gosh, that's crazy.
So what's going to happen next time you go to the track is there's going to be some shady looking characters standing out in the parking lot. And they're going to have everybody's pictures that they've been posting all day long on their Facebook pages. They'll have them up and they'll spot you coming out the door and they'll know who to knock off mug for the money.
That's true, too. Yeah, maybe you wait till you actually put the money in the bank or something. you know, might be a better idea. But anyway. You
remember we were at the track last weekend. My dad, I was like, stop saying this, Dad, because there are people listening. He would go up to the window. You know, he won like one $2.
Oh, he
favorite.
Was so excited about that, too.
Oh, my God. And he probably, I think he won $2.40. He actually only won like 40 cents on this victory. And he's like boasting, all right, grab those suitcases full of money and follow me to the car. And I was like, Dad, somebody in here, this is a shady track. Like, somebody's going to believe you and follow you to the car and beat you up and take your 40 cents.
Yes, exactly.
They thought you had more.
Your dad reminds me so much of Jennifer's dad. It was incredible how much they have in common.
Jennifer, that's why we get along so well.
Yeah.
PTSD. Yeah.
We love you, Dad.
The only difference is your dad has a Southern accent and hers doesn't. That's the only difference between the two. It's just like a little tornado coming into the room. And your dad was the same way. He's just so happy-go-lucky. He probably never even thought about that.
No.
Never occurred to him.
No, never. No. I'm like, that's... What? Is that going to happen? Come on, honey.
Well, if I had known that, I wouldn't have walked out to the parking lot with you.
I know. He's like, I'm just funning. Like, that's what he says. I'm just funning. God. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show? I don't want to talk about my dad anymore. He'll get mad.
Today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition. We're going to go behind the scenes at Woodbine Racetrack, this time with track historian Tom Cosgrove. And then we will delve into wet weather hoof issues with Steve Krause, thanks to a late-to-the-party horse health report. And in an act of complete irony, the EquityFFG.com, a really bad ad, is riding drag today. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Okay. I'm anxious to hear about that. So it's Daily Winnie time. My daily goes out to, and we haven't talked about it this week much, it goes out to trainer Lindsay Partridge, because she actually got the America's Most Wanted Thoroughbred title, which is kind of like the grand champion of the OTTV.
She's best in show.
Best in show, yep, of the OTTV challenge that we've talked about for a long time here, happened at the Kentucky Horse Park. Now, there were lots of winners. I couldn't find a concise list of them all, and I know you looked too, and it was kind of confusing.
Yeah.
But this girl actually won the best in show. I think she won the most money.
We need to get her on the show.
Well, we're trying to get her for next week sometime.
Okay.
She is a natural horsemanship trainer combined with, and I thought this was interesting, Jennifer will appreciate this, combined with centered riding, which is what Jennifer teaches, is centered riding. So she's combined natural horsemanship and centered riding, and she was riding Western. She has a gray thoroughbred that she rode, and named Soar, and... we saw the freestyle, and I don't know what else she did. There was a lot of stuff going on last week, and we're also trying to get Elisa Wallace on to talk about judging it and give her overall impressions of the whole thing. So we'll have more reports coming up as we get them in. There was so much going on last week, it was hard to keep track of it all. But congratulations to her, Lindsay Partridge, for winning that challenge.
All right. Everybody's been asking, and it's finally here.
Oh, what is it?
The numbers. How much, Glenn, is it going to cost you to breed your mare to a Triple Crown Grand Slam winner, American Pharoah? What is the stud fee for American Pharoah this year?
Well, by some of the other stud fees we've had in the past, the big ones tended to run around $75,000 to $100,000.
That is a very large stud fee, $100,000. You're going to have to climb a little bit.
$150,000.
Let's go ahead and take it all the way up to $200,000.
Whoa!
That is a huge opening stud fee.
A brand new stud? That's
for a brand new
unproven,
stud.
Unproven, doesn't even know if it works yet.
We don't know if it works. Oh, God, don't give him the cigar curse. Oh, that would be awful. His sire is going to remain at 125, but American Pharoah, I mean, you know what?
His sire's at 125?
Yeah. Wow. They upped his, too. So,
of course.
Yeah, incredible. So... the other more exciting news here in a second, but yeah, $200,000 for an intro is, I mean, I get it's appropriate. He won the Triple Crown. My God, you know, let's do this thing. But I wanted to go through a couple of the stud fees. Every one of the farms is kind of releasing what the fees are going to be. Lane's End just announced their 2016 fees, and they've got Honor Code, who's standing there new this year, and Liam's Map. Honor Code is going to stand for $40,000.
Boy, what a difference, huh?
Yeah, well, and Liam's Map is at $25,000. So that's kind of a normal opener for a champion horse, you know, not 200, but I think it's, people are going to jump on it. You know, I think his book will be totally full. We've got other horses at Lane's End. Mineshaft is 25,000. Stephen Got Even is down to $5,000. He's getting old too. Union Rags is 35,000. So kind of in that area, you know, nothing super crazy at Lane's End. I think Honor Code is the most expensive. Quality Road is at 35,000. And of course, at Lane's End is our dear friend AP Indy standing out in a field pensioned and just enjoying the rest of his life.
What was Mucho Macho Man? Do you remember?
They haven't released his this year yet. Okay. So I've only got Lane's End, Ashford Stud, Gainsway, and Gainsway so far. These are all just out this morning. We've got Ashford Stud, which is American Pharoah at 200,000. And the closest next to him is Scat Daddy at 25. Uncle Mo, who was 25,000 last year, is at 75,000 this year.
Uncle Mo produced some babies, huh?
He did. He did. I didn't look at all his little. Maybe you can Google that. Who's Uncle Mo's babies from last year that made his stud fee jump up $50,000?
You Google Uncle Mo and babies. That probably will bring up some interesting results on Google.
Uncle Mo horse. You always got to put the word horse in there. Verrazano, remember your boy Verrazano? He's at $20,000. He's down a couple grand this year.
Verrazano never did what I was hoping he would do,
which was win anything.
No, yes, exactly.
Looking at Lucky, who I named Lil Lucky after. I had to come up with a horse named Lucky. So Looking at Lucky's at 20,000, down from 25. Now we've got Gainsway, and Gainsway is very exciting because Empire Maker has returned from Japan and has come back to Gainsway. So he's new this year, and his stud fee is $100,000 for Empire Maker. Now, if you recall your Thoroughbred Bloodlines, Empire Maker won the Belmont in 2003 and is also granddaddy of one American Pharoah. So they're just tapping in on all these lines, and they're going to make sure that everybody gets paid.
I have a number here for you too. Do you realize that Secretariat, who stood at Claiborne when in 1974, commanded 190,000 as a new stallion. So that's not too far off of American Pharoah.
That's fantastic. And well, that would be even more, because if you think about the money back then
it'd probably be $500,000, right?
Yeah.
Now here's another number for you, and this is right now. England's superstar Frankel last year was first year, right?
Yeah.
Frankel covered 133 mares for $190,000 each.
Wow.
Let me calculate that out for you. $25,270,000 his first year.
Well, let's do the math on how much Tappet is making.
Okay.
Tappet is at $300,000. For his stud fee. Same as last year, Tappet. He's just the leading sire for the past 5 or 6 years. He's ridiculous. So we've got Tappet at $300,000. Gainsway is cashing in.
All right, let's say
in.
Tappet did 100, okay?
Yeah.
So you're looking at $30 million.
Yeah.
In 1 year. No wonder they have nice fencing at these farms in Kentucky.
See, that's why he gets all that straw in his stall.
Yeah, exactly. Nice fencing, good hay. Now we know why.
My gosh, that is an amazing amount of money. Fleet Alex is at 12,500, Birdstone 5,000, Hat Trick 7,500, Tapizar is at 15,000, and then to Honor and Serve is 15,000. So Gainsway, it's like, we've got this guy for 10, this guy for 12, and this guy for 100, this guy for 300. Like, somebody is not pulling their weight at Gainsway. You're on the way out if you're Hat Trick. Sorry, buddy. You're on your way out. So that's the stud fees. And for three, you know what is exciting for people like us that listen to this show right now is that someday down the line, an American Pharoah baby is going to be available for us to buy off the track. And I can't wait to get one.
Yeah, you figure 133 a year times 10 years, you have a pretty good chance of one of them being a total bomb.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And coming off the track for $200.
In about, let's see, 6 years, I'm going to have an American Pharoah baby. Mark my words. Write it down.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, it's going to happen. So anyway, that's what's going on. Now, I do want to give a little bit of an update on William Fox Pitt, our favorite British eventer. He is conscious, but he is still very ill, and he's still in France. So his family sends out, it's just thanks everybody for being so supportive. But
yeah,
he's,
the fact that they have not moved him yet says something, I think.
It's scary. Yeah. It's scary. Like, I just thought, of anybody that has had anything happen on a horse, that guy was always perched on top of that horse perfect. But when the horse falls, like, you know, it just, now they're saying they're kind of releasing that the horse did fall on him. That's pretty much all. There's no video. There's no anything. You can't find anything about it, which is probably fantastic. I wouldn't want to see a video of it. So,
Poor
William Fox Pitt.
And basically all they said is he continues to make progress. His recovery is going to take time and he remains in the hospital. That's basically all I said. Yeah.
And we would definitely update you guys if we knew anything else, but
I've tried asking through the channels, through my channels, and I've gotten, that's all I get. So.
Oh. Hey, happy story, fun story. Do you want something real quick or you want me to wait?
Yeah, go ahead and we'll go to our guest.
Okay, this is awesome. Our guest is ready. I'll tell the story later.
All right, sounds good.
All right, we're going to introduce our first guest today. We've got Tom Cosgrove, who is the historian at Woodbine Racetrack. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for coming back. We had you on, I believe, last year, and we just liked you so much we had to have you again.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Now, what is going on at Woodbine? Give us a little bit of a day-to-day right now.
Well, we're doing very well. We just had the, on the 18th of October, we had the Canadian International, another renewal of that race. And the horse that won our race, Mondelise, ran a bang-up second in the Breeders' Cup, as you know. And 6 days later, we had the Breeders' Crown, which is the highlight of the standardbred racing season. And Woodbine was the host of that again. And we're preparing right now, winding down the season and preparing to resurface the track, the main poly track will be replaced by the Tapeta surface the first part of December. So we're looking forward to that as well.
What's that? What's the Tapeta? Yeah, explain that.
Well, we have a poly track since 2006. We've had a poly track synthetic surface. And it's, it's time to replace it now. It's been basically down 9 years now. So it's time to replace the surface part of it, not the base, but just the surface. And we're going to use the first cousin of poly track, which is Tapeta, which is the product that was put out by Michael Dickinson, as you may know. So,
and that moves it to classified as dirt, right? Or is that still kind of a synthetic?
That's still a synthetic surface. Just like I said, the first cousin of Polytrack is Tapeta.
Is that getting more popular than the Polytrack? I mean, I know that a lot of people were frustrated with the Polytrack because it was hard to, gamblers would complain about anything. But I know that not everybody loved the Polytrack. So is this kind of a more popular alternative?
That's hard to say. I mean, I really couldn't make a fair comment about that. I would just suggest that a synthetic track is a synthetic track and just a variable to the makeup. And I would suggest they're not too different, from one surface to another, as opposed to the organic dirt surface, which is distinctly different. So,
gotcha.
It's hard to say which is preferred,
Gotcha. So you're the historian at Woodbine.
Yes, that's right.
What do you do on a daily basis? Talk to us about your job.
Well, I keep track of, my job description varies from day to day, but it could range from somebody calling me saying I've got some programs from 1960, what are they worth? Or grandma's passed away and we found some old mutual tickets in a shoebox, are they worth anything? or I've got a collection of racing memorabilia. I'd like to donate it, or can you look through it and tell me if it has any value? And then the other part of my job would be just to keep up with the day-to-day goings on in racing and sort out what's important for people and future generations to be aware of and what's not. So it's a very interesting job. I love it.
That sounds so fascinating, especially when you get the calls. Now, if my grandma did pass away and I did find a bunch of Paramutual tickets, are they worth anything?
Well, it's more or less for sentimental value, perhaps, but I'll at least take a look and go through the records and try to satisfy their request and give them a straight answer.
Are there time? Oh, that's a good question. If I have one from 10 years ago, are they time dated yet? Like a lottery, do you have to cash them in 6 months or a year?
Not that I'm aware of. No,
oh, really?
I mean, a good ticket's a good ticket. I mean, can you cash one on Secretariat that ran in 1973? I would probably say so.
Huh. Now, is it adjusted for inflation?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately not, Jamie, no.
Okay, so it's not beneficial to hold on to any of your tickets. Not going to
get
higher.
Well, I mean, people hold on to tickets for a reason. And surprisingly, a number of the tickets that I've asked to, pass on to the mutual department at times also, a lot of them are don't have any value at all. They're worthless. They're just tickets that somebody has, has and saved for whatever reason. So.
Wow, that's
anyway,
super,
it's a very interesting thing.
I wonder on a big race like we just had with the Breeders' Cup and you guys have up there. I wonder on a big race, and they probably track knows this percentage. What percentage of the tickets are never cashed because people do want to frame them? You know, you have an American Pharoah winning ticket, and it's going to pay $2.40, and you don't care.
Right. Yeah. You say, well, two classic examples this year would be American Pharoah's Belmont win and his Breeders' Cup, his last race. So
right.
So those two, yeah. So it's hard to say. You'd have to actually contact.
That's good for the track, though, right? When they have winning tickets and they never cash them, that's really good for the track.
Yeah.
That's found money.
Yeah, it's like a credit card.
Yeah.
Right?
That's Tom gets his paycheck that week. That's a good thing.
Or you go to a bookstore. You go to a bookstore and you get one of those gift cards, and you never use it. So.
Right, exactly.
All right,
I'm on eBay right now, and an okay. American Pharoah Breeders' Cup $2 win ticket is currently selling for $20. Now, they've sold 18, and they have at least 20 more available. So I'm thinking if you're the track, you're happy to have that. Because,
sure.
Yeah.
It's like free money. There you go, but man.
Well, so, and you would think that everything being equal, that ticket will go up in value if there's not another American Pharoah coming down the line anytime soon. I mean, in the 70s, you had Secretariat and you had Seattle Slough and Affirmed, and they all sort of, everything sort of happened very quickly as far as Triple Crown winners when you didn't have one since 1948. Mm-hmm. And then you may, now it's a 37-year spread between that and Secretariat for American Pharoah, so...
Well, from what I understand, there's going to be plenty of American Pharoahs down the pipeline because the stud fee is only $200,000. So everybody's going to breed to them. Just kidding.
Well, sure. that's everything's going in the right way for that horse and most deservedly so because, he's the face of racing and the Zayats were very good in keeping him racing after the Triple Crown, and I'm sure that Ashford will take very good care of him, Ashford Stud, and everything's right in the world as far as that part of it goes.
Absolutely. Now at Woodbine, by the way, I did bet Mondelez because of his fantastic performance at Woodbine, and I did lose because I bet him to win. He was kind of one of my pick-ems. But he did run a game second place. So talk to us a little bit about kind of what are some of the brighter spots from Woodbine's racing this year, and then maybe some of your past favorites.
Well, we didn't have a Triple Crown winner this year, that was unfortunate, but... We had a good season overall. I mean, racing in Canada is in Ontario is in a bit of a recovery stage still because of the slots agreement with the government. So we're recovering and getting back on our feet. And I think our season overall would would be very satisfying, you know, as far as, and our racing is very good. And, yeah, it was just a great season, as you know, as it turned out. So,
and
Ryan Moore came and won the Canadian International for the third straight year. So maybe we'll call the race the Moore International. I don't know, but
he could sponsor it. My God, as much money as he's won at Woodbine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's great to have Woodbine is a flagship racing track for racing in Canada, so we're always appreciative of horses and people that come to visit our track, and hopefully we'll show them the highest gratitude be as accommodating and as gracious as possible.
Now, as far as Woodbine's history goes, because we do have the historian on, we need to ask you, you give us a Reader's Digest version of the history of Woodbine?
Well, the track opened in 1956, and it's situated in the northwest part of Toronto, and at that time, it was all open farmland, and the airport was, very small. And now it's a city within itself, of course, so right. A large international airport, and that's right beside us. And so Woodbine has grown. We're on about 680 acres right now. And we have 40 barns. We have over 2,000 horses, and that all started to be developed in the 50s by Mr. Taylor, who was the driving force behind the Ontario Jockey Club at the time, and he was the man who was essentially responsible for the development of Woodbine and the other smaller tracks in the GTA closed down, and Woodbine and was called Old Woodbine Park down at the east end of the city. Then to be called Greenwood later on to avoid the confusion from New Woodbine. And so Woodbine is, the current queen made her first visit to Woodbine in 1959 and came three times after that, including her last visit here in 2010. So one interesting note that in the 156 years of the Queen's Plate, there's only been two queens on the throne, Queen Victoria, from 1860 to 1901, and the current Queen Elizabeth II from 1952 to date. So.
There are good genes in that family,
right?
Yeah,
it would seem so. Her mother lived to about 101.
101, I think. Yeah, celebrating her 90th husband, this year.
She and her husband King George were the very first actual living royalty to visit Old Woodbine Park in 1939.
Interesting.
So that was 75 years ago last year.
Now, you guys had the Breeders' Cup, speaking of Breeders' Cup, yes. I believe in around 1996. Is there a chance? Are you guys bidding to get it again? When's it coming back to Woodbine?
We'd love to have it back, I'm sure, but that would be a decision made by the Breeders' Cup Limited and Woodbine Management. I don't know anything about that, but... I'm sure Canada would love to have it back again. We thought we put on a great show in 1996, and it would be great for Canadian racing and for the Breeders' Cup to come back to Canada. But we'll have to see if that's.
I was wondering if it's like one of those like bidding for the Olympics. You know, the whole like track has to get together and put together a package for them. So
yeah,
I guess
I don't know anything about that, Jamie. That's above my pay grade. I don't know anything about that, but that would be nice to see it come back to Canada for sure.
And you guys have a museum there too, right?
Yeah, we have the Canadian Horse Racing Hall of Fame. The actual the logistics of it is located right at Woodbine there on the ground floor. We have 4,300 members right now, including standardbred horses and people. So it's quite nice. So,
well, Tom, before we let you go, I'd be remiss. Knowing what you know about the history of racing and Woodbine, who is your favorite horse of all time?
My favorite horse of all time probably would be a horse that raced Woodbine only twice, and that was Dahlia.
Talk to me about that horse.
Well, she was a Kentucky bred, owned by Nelson Bunker Hunt from Texas. trained by an Egyptian who trained out of France, ridden by an Australian and an Englishman at times. The farm manager or the racing manager for Mr. Hunt was from Australia. And she raced in five countries, won grade ones in all those countries, had 46 career starts, 35 of them against the boys. So I think she might be my favorite. Of the horses that raced here would be La Proviant, a filly that was born the same year as Secretariat, won 12 for 12 as a two-year-old, finished second in the Eclipse Award to Secretariat that year for Horse of the Year. Oh. And she was an outstanding filly, and what a class filly to be around.
But that really stank if you were a really good horse in the Secretariat times, right? Like her.
Yeah.
Because you're getting
Greg. In 1970, that was a hallmark year for breeding in North America, because you had Secretariat, La Proviant, Ancient Title, Desert Vixen, Dahlia. Oh, by the way, Mr. Prospector. so you had Forgo. I mean, the list goes on and on of horses that were born that year that went on to become superstars, 1970. Wow. Hmm. What a year for racing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I was just looking at Dahlia. She was actually the first thoroughbred mare to earn more than $1 million, and that was in
That's right. That's when $1 million was $1 million, too.
when you came by it honestly, you worked hard for it instead of just getting
race. She produced grade one winners herself after her sterling racing career as well.
Wow.
I mean, she died in 2001, and she's buried in at Three Diamonds there in Kentucky.
Did you meet her?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
She came by my barn every day, so there's a little bit of a love story there.
Oh,
and you seem to like the mares. I'm noticing a trend here. You're definitely into the girls.
Well, you know what? Speaking of that, the rise of the ladies in racing is terrific, isn't it? I mean, you have look at Zenyatta and Rachel Alexander and Julie Crone and Rosie Napravdic, and I mean, the list goes on and on of women that are making an impact in racing, and go girl, because that's great.
I love it. I love it. Well, listen, Tom, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and we will talk to you again soon, hopefully. That's Tom Cosgrove, the Woodbine historian, and you can go to woodbineentertainment.com to learn more. You can find Tom there, and you can email him your questions and send him pictures of your win tickets from 1952.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Tom.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's take a break for our title sponsor today, and that's Kentucky Performance Products with a brand new love story.
They had been together for years, since he was just a colt. When he got stubborn, she would gently coax him on. When he got scared, she would reassure him and stroke him gently on the neck. She spent hours building his confidence, his strength, his balance, teaching him to dance. Pirouette, passage, piaf. The final salute. The crowd jumped to its feet and cheered. It was the moment they had spent a lifetime training for. But all she could think about was how special he was and how she loved him. This love story is brought to you by Endure Extra, providing high-fat calories, direct-fed microbials, and natural vitamin E to support optimal condition and performance. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Well, Jamie, you have a story here before we get to an interview that Jennifer did.
Can I just say, I love those Kentucky Performance Products commercials. I get choked up. I'm like, this is a happy one. I'm like, oh my God, I love my horse.
They're perfect for you, the squishy one. They're perfect.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. Okay. So we're going to head to Ohio, and we're going to look at the Mahoning Valley Racecourse, which is owned by Hollywood Gaming. And the race that we're going to talk about is the ninth and final race. A $5,000 filly and mare maiden claimers. It happened November 4th, so 2 days ago. The runner in question is a mare named Ruby Queen. She's a three-year-old filly owned and trained by Shane Spice. And she won the race. And she was, Ruby Queen has started 13 times with 1 second and lost her first four races of the year by a combined 70 lengths. Okay. This mare sucks. She is she's terrible. But her odds were like 99 to 1 or something like that going into this race. And she wins. And her ticket pays $222.40.
On a $2 bet?
I think so.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah.
$2 bet, the win ticket pays $222.
Yeah, that trifecta must have been high.
Ooh, boy! Unfortunately, for the people involved, going back to the person who got the horse out of the stall, the person who tacked it up, the person and people who led it over to the track, the person who investigates and looks at the horses and checks tattoos before the race, and the person who was the horse identifier. When every horse goes to the paddock, it gets identified. Not one person noticed that this was a gelding.
What?
And it was not Ruby Queen. It was a horse named Leathers Slappin'. Identified in the program as Ruby Queen, was ridden by Angel Stanley, won the 6-furlong race by 7 3/4 lengths at odds of 110 to 1.
There we go again.
110 to 1.
It was the wrong horse.
And they're not really.
Did they pay?
Yeah, well, the investigation is still going on. Said they're working with the Racing Commission and doing an independent study to get the relevant facts and the details, but it's fairly obvious a mistake was made, is what they're saying.
Oh my gosh.
Not one person who watched that horse walk around the track, one person who circles. They have a sheath. His wiener wasn't hanging out. I mean, my God, I can tell a gelding without looking at a penis. Like, I mean, God. Are you kidding me?
You think the guy's loading? The guy's loading really get in personal, but they don't pay any attention. They're just loading horses. They don't care.
No, I mean, but the horse gets tacked up. Like, they're probably like, hey, Manuel, go get Ruby Queen. She's coming to the race. And he's like, which one is that? He's like, it's the bay. And he just grabs the bay.
Yeah, the first bay.
Wow. So that's probably where the mistake was made. And then they tacked him up. And nobody was like, this isn't Ruby Queen. But anyway, so then it gets all the way down in the paddock. Not one person watching her horses walk around goes, hey, isn't this a filly and mare maiden claimer? That's a gelding. Nope, not that happens. Then in the paddock, there's a person who's supposed to look at all of them and make sure that it's the right horse. That person's going to get fired. So seriously, and it couldn't have been a horse with like just normal odds. Not one that's 110 to 1. Again, I didn't even know you could get odds that far.
Oh, by the way, it paid for a $2 bet on the trifecta, paid $2,300.
Oh, my God. A $2 exacta returned $1,800.
Now, you're the one cashing in that ticket, and then they call you back later and say, give me your money back. That was all wrong. We're sorry.
You know something that's really scary? If that horse had come in second to last, third to last in that race, I wonder if nobody would have ever known.
Nobody would have ever noticed. The really sad thing is that, you know, this horse, the horse that won, Leathers Slappin', he actually had run 2 days before in another race. And he's only won twice, but it was he runs in $5,000 claimers, not mare maiden claim. I mean, he kicked everybody's butt. I mean, but that's not the horse you would really want to sneak by. You know, I mean, at least I don't think they did it on purpose. I think Manuel grabbed the wrong horse.
Oh, yeah. And I think they were all half asleep and nobody cared about a $5,000 claimer. Let's face it.
And the good news is they probably didn't lose that much money because this is the Mahoning Valley Racetrack. In Ohio. It's not
like. Do you think somebody claimed the horse immediately? For $5,000, it's like I got it. I'm taking that one.
That was mine. I thought I was going to breed it, but
I'm going to breed it. Now I can't. Oops!
Isn't that hilarious? I mean, that in this day and age, a mistake like that can happen. I mean, it's a gelding in a mare race. Like, I don't know. I just don't know how.
Okay,
something
so they
like
check
happens,
the lip tattoo. They check all the markings, all that stuff. Now we're going to have a winky check. That's going to be a little box on the form now. Winky check. Going to be on there.
All right, buzzed out your wieners. Pull them out. Let's go. Let's see them. Isn't that hilarious?
That's a funny story.
All right.
Well, Jennifer, you got an interview for us. Tell us about it.
Well, I got together with Cornell University Farrier Program Director Steve Krause, as we do on a monthly basis, and we had a little chat about the types of issues your horse can have during wet weather, because lots of places in the world have very, very wet fall and autumn seasons. So this is what we talked about.
Here, this is for you, Texas.
Welcome to the show, Steve. How are you doing this month?
Good, good. Everything's fine. We have nice, beautiful fall days up here in Ithaca, New York.
Oh, yeah, that's the part of the country where fall is really beautiful.
Yep, the trees are changing colors, and it's a great place to visit and be, especially when the weather is nice like it is right now.
Now, did you guys get sufficient rain this year to get some good fall color?
Yes, yeah, we started off wet, then we dried out a lot in August, and now we've had a few rainstorms come through, so, you know, it's beautiful. The trees are peaking out in some places, or almost peak, depending upon where you are.
Really? Wow. We don't get any of that in Florida. It gets cool and the weather gets lovely, but the colors really don't change. It's just, it's green all the time. Yeah. So enough about the weather. Let us get on with the subject at hand. And interesting that you talked about wet weather middle and late summer, because today it's all about hoof issues your horse is likely to have and you to suffer with during wet weather conditions. So start us out with that, Steve.
Well, that's probably the worst weather for farriers, or farriers that are shoeing horses in chronically wet climates. When I traveled around the country, and so I'm mostly familiar with the Northeast, done some shoeing down in South Florida also, down in, around Wellington. But I've gotten to travel all around the country, and definitely climate and soil and weather conditions have a major impact on horses' feet and where they live. And certainly there's variations within seasons and areas also. So definitely there's probably one of the most major impacts is moisture conditions, whether, you know, certainly the two extremes have the most, the worst effect. But wet weather, constantly wet weather, especially when the horses are not adapted to that, will give you a lot of problems to deal with.
So if you have a horse that has been living in very dry conditions, for example, you're in the desert states or in California, for example.
Yeah.
And you ship in because you're going to spend the winter season doing the indoor circuit, and you move into an area that has just been living through a wet spell.
Right.
What might you see with that horse versus a horse that's been living that in that particular area all season long?
Well, the feet are going to absorb moisture, and it's going to almost appear like the feet are growing because they expand with the extra moisture content. And it's not like a sponge, but kind of like a sponge. You know, it's not going to absorb it as fast as a sponge, but you're definitely going to see issues where nice, hard, durable feet are starting to turn into softer, less durable feet. And obviously, shod horses versus unshod horses, you're going to have more of an impact on the unshod horse right away because he's got nothing to stabilize the foot. And when they're in these chronically dry climates, period, then the feet are always, you know, soft and less durable.
That's interesting that you say that you're going to notice a big difference in the unshod hoof versus the shod hoof more quickly. What are some examples of things that your average horse owner might look at and say, ooh, what's that from, that is caused by this sudden influx of living in moist ground?
Well, as the feet expand, the horn tubules are like absorbing water. And they're expanding, so it appears like the foot is growing faster. But it's probably not growing faster, but it has more moisture content to it. So it'd be like taking, if you look at a soft wood versus hardwood would be like the hard, durable hooves that you have in really dry climates. And softwood would be like, you know, the faster growing, like evergreen type, you know, trees. And so now you have a less durable, more space between the cells, so to speak. So the feet haven't grown more, but they appear to grow more because they absorb more moisture. And now the cells are less tightly packed. So you have a less durable foot.
Interesting. So are there different things that we might see as a horse owner looking at our horses' feet and picking them up and cleaning them out with continuously wet weather versus quickly alternating wet and dry and wet and dry? For example, it's muddy and wet outside, but every day your horse comes into the stall and spends 12 hours on dry shavings, so his feet get really dry and then really wet when he goes back out. Are there different things that we're liable to have to deal with between those two?
I think if a horse is like alternating daily back and forth between whether it be some turnout where it's moisture and then going into dry conditions, I don't think you're going to see that much of a change that rapidly. I think you're going to actually have a nice moisture, you know, balance of the foot that way. But if it's, for instance, if you start off the summer around here and then let's say it's really wet and the feet are, again, absorbing lots of water, and they seem to be very growthy, but they're not very durable. They fall apart easy. And then all of a sudden, so now when you shoe these horses, if they're in, you know, working, you know, conditions, and you shoe these horses and everything is fits up really nice and, you know, they're nice feet to work with your tools because they're softer. And then all of a sudden the rain stops and it doesn't rain for a few weeks and everything dries out and all the conditions the horses are living in are dry, dry, dry. And now over time, these feet, even though they're growing, they're sort of tightening up at the same time. So shoes that would normally not be loose are loose. They're like clattering. You know? And so it changes the whole shoeing cycle.
Uh-huh.
When you have like weeks of one thing, then weeks of another thing, you know, an opposite over a period of several weeks, that's when you see the big changes.
So would that be a little bit like when we're talking about the shoe staying tight, so you've got a nail through the hoof wall, you put a nail into a piece of a 2x4 that you bought at the outdoor lumber mill during a wet spell, and you put a nail in there. Now, 9 months later, you've suffered through the driest summer on record. The nail that you put into that 2x4 is likely to feel a little bit loose because the wood that you put it into has literally shrunken.
A better analogy would be if you are building like a barn, and you're lining the barn with some fresh sawn wood, and you put up everything nice and tight, and you have no cracks between the boards lining your barn, and now they're out of the weather and they're drying up, and then 6 months later or less, there's huge cracks because the wood is now seasoning and drying out, and the boards are shrinking. And maybe some nails are coming loose, too. So it's probably better to use power screws than nails.
Yeah, interesting. So if you're going to be in consistently wet conditions in that everywhere you ride is wet, the horse gets washed off every day, there's dew on the grass, are you better off – how do I want to put this? Are your shoes going to get loose faster necessarily because their foot stays moist?
The guys in South Florida that, you know, shoot, it's not only just the rain, but it's the humidity also in the air, too. High humidity, constantly bathing the horses. So those horses have to be, and these are show horses, they have to be on a tighter chewing cycle because the feet, you know, are not growing quicker, but they're just more growthy looking, and the feet are easily falling apart. Like if your fingernail grows out and you're doing any kind of work with your hand, you're going to chip that and break it. You know, you have to keep your fingernails cut short. And I even noticed when I was in Florida, I had to cut my fingernails more often.
Interesting. Really? That's interesting.
And they were softer.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? So as far as shoes staying on and growth, you're going to see changes between consistently dry weather and consistently wet weather. What about, hoof health issues with rot and crud and slime and stinkiness when it comes to wet weather?
Well, certainly the stuff that are not great for the foot, like, you know, fungi and bacteria and mold and all these microorganisms that we can't see that actually eat horny hoofwell material, sole frog, and cause white Lyme disease and thrush and other things you don't want to have happening to horse feet. They thrive in the moisture conditions. And so a good practice for shoeing in the wettest climate, especially, is to hot fit all your shoes and, you know, and really be, you know, do a pretty good job of that. And that does a couple of things. That dries the outer edge of the end of the foot where you've trimmed up. It like cuts off all that moisture transfer in and out of the foot. It sort of seals things up. And it also, you know, wherever that shoe touches, hot shoe, is going to kill all the bacteria and fungi and molds that could be living on that and trying to find an opportunity to penetrate something.
That's a good point.
These are all helpful.
That shoe is really, 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 really hot. About how many degrees is that horseshoe when the fairy...
It's about 1,000 degrees we normally hot fit. So it's lost its incandescent color. We've been forging, putting a clip on it or shaping it properly or doing whatever modifications we have. Then we walk over to not only check the fit, but to actually, you know, burn a little bit, not a lot. You don't want to do it excessively. And if you have a nice flat shoe that almost fit, you can burn and scorch the bottom of the foot. And that tells you if you got any high spots. And it also will kill all the stuff that's trying to, you know, enter the foot that you can't see. And then when you look at the shoe itself, you see a burn mark, which tells you where your shoe fits, where it's too full, not full enough, and you can adjust it from those burn marks on the shoe. So hot fitting serves a lot of purposes for the farriers that use it, and especially in these wet climates. We had a very wet summer up here several years ago, and everybody was calling me up like, what do I do? My feet are falling apart. I can make sure you hot fit everything.
Interesting.
And that helps in the wet climates.
Interesting. So hot fitting is a real help. Now, when it comes to hoof conditions like thrush and white Lyme disease, or what they used to call seedy toe, or even canker for that matter, is using some type of antifungal agent designed for those diseases, is it smart to use that stuff preventatively? In other words, my horse doesn't have thrush, but I'm going to treat him with product A 4 times a week so he doesn't get thrush?
Not necessarily. I mean, if the horse is susceptible or living, you know, I see horses up here that sometimes during, you know, like the winters that are in run-in sheds and large amounts of horses where maybe things aren't cleaned up on a regular basis. And these horses are walking in muddy conditions. And some of these horses have beautiful feet. They're not getting thrush or canker or anything because of the conditions, the wetness. And then there are other horses that are living in beautiful conditions and nice clean stalls that develop this stuff. And certainly if a horse is susceptible to these things and some of it's an immune system problem, some of it's conformation that the horse is screwing his foot in the ground all the time or not landing and loading properly, making fissures, pulling his frog apart, these horses are more susceptible to thrush that are not landing and loading properly. So, you know, some horses can tolerate it and some can't. Being proactive, I think an easier, more economical way to be proactive, which I think a lot of people have gotten away from, is to use hydrated lime in your stalls underneath.
Oh, and underneath
that
the bedding.
Solves
okay.
A lot of, yeah. And cleaning stalls regularly and just using, I would, you know, hydrated lime around where horses are living is, we've gotten away from that because it's kind of like, you know, it's messy. If people get, you know, white powder or marks on their clothes or their boots, but really that solves a lot of problems.
Interesting. Now, if you're using a product that is labeled for, treating thrush or white line, is there necessarily harm in using it if your horse does not have those conditions?
No, not at all. Anything that they could buy over the counter should not be able to harm a horse.
Okay.
And that's why there are a few things that may be a prescription or compounded that you would need a veterinarian's prescription for. Or, you know, for instance, if you had something that had DMSO in it and something that was more of a drug and using the DMSO to carry it in, then you would need a prescription, and it should be used the way the veterinarian recommends it.
Mm-hmm.
But more often than not, the over-the-counter products like Durasol and Thrush Buster and those that help dry things up, they stain the active ingredient to the tissue, and so then it's lasting effect of it.
Very good. Now, one final question when it comes to wet weather. Do topical hoof conditioners assist in, because if you read the really big print on the outside of the bottle, sometimes they'll claim this, keep
right.
the moisture level in the foot more stable? In other words, the drastic change between wet and dry is narrowed a little bit, so you don't have that vast expansion and contraction. Can hoof conditioners actually do that, or is that just something we think we're doing?
Well, most of the water that enters the hoof either enters through the coronary band or, you know, from the bottom of the hoof, and water doesn't penetrate the actual hoof wall that well. But if you have fissures to nail holes, okay, you've opened up a spot where, you know, mm-hmm. excessive moisture and other things can get in. So things that really block that, like a beeswax type hoof ointment, you know, conditioner might be helpful because it sticks, fills those holes. And so something that has a beeswax, and usually any of these things quite often have tea tree oil in it. And so it serves as an anti-microorganism. But or something that actually coats it, makes the physical barrier like tough stuff, will shed the water, but will let the foot transpire, you know, the right amount of moisture that it's intended for. So like a coating like tough stuff will seal up old nail holes and shed, you know, your daily water, but you still have the bottom and the top. You don't put tough stuff on the coronary band. So you still have a certain amount of water entering the foot that way. But it will, you know, the other thing that any of these coatings that, you know, actually stays there do, it supports a weak wall. So if you put any of these coatings on once a week, and it has to be on a clean, dry foot, otherwise the stuff won't stick. Now you're shedding excessive water, and you're giving a physical strengthening to the hoof wall.
Well, there you go. So use things according to their labels and not what they're not used made for. That's a good idea. And well, thank you very
right.
much, Steve Krause, for joining us on the show again this month. And we'll be seeing you again soon to talk about more hoof topics.
Yep. I'm here whenever you need me.
And give us the name of the Facebook page again.
Our Cornell Farrier program is on Facebook.
Cornell Farrier program.
Search for Cornell Farrier program. And we put interesting cases up on there, and we do field some questions directly from people too.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, for putting that together with Steve. We really appreciate it.
At one point, I'm sure you edited it out, say, why do you keep saying hoof? It's a hoof. I tried to listen to that, Jennifer, because it was so interesting. I just couldn't do it. I had to take my headphones off. I was getting
We
so
can't help it. You say it wrong. I mean, that's a personal
that's
issue.
That's all my fault.
That's
and
a personal
everybody
issue.
Else in the world.
That's
this
right.
this is all I have to say, Jamie. This is all I have to say to you.
Jennifer got a new sound effect stuff. Machine from Debbie while we were out there.
That's not okay.
All right. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. We are about to do some really bad ads, but first, we have to talk about something really serious. And that is the Radiothon coming up. We need your help. The Horses in the Morning show is going to lead the 12-hour live Radiothon. 2 hours of Horses in the Morning.
When you say Radiothon, it makes people, and you say, we need your help. We don't want your money.
No.
We're not asking for donations.
We want your talent. That's what we want. We want your talent. This is a holiday radiothon. It is going to be 12 hours of holiday fun, and the first 2 hours are Horses in the Morning. In the past, at the holidays at Christmas, we have asked you to sing songs. We've asked you to write poems. We've asked you to just give holiday wishes to the people in your barn or your horses or your pets, and to do that through voicemail and calling in both. Well, we're going to be asking for that again this year. Only now the pressure's on. It's it's more serious because all day long we're going to have the dressage people. There's going to be over 20 hosts of the Horse Radio Network on all day long, and they're going to be asking their audiences for the same. And we have to show them that we're the best, that Horses in the Morning audience is the best. So.
Now- Yeah. What if they listen to, like, say, somebody listens to the dressage show and this show? I don't think we have much crossover, but just in case.
Well, I guess they're going to have to do it for both then. They're going to have to be doubly creative.
You can just say, listen, this is for Horses in the Morning.
That's right. And we're going to have all of those announcements for phone numbers to call and everything next week. So I just wanted to prompt you to be thinking about what you're going to do this year. And, you know, you guys really came through in past years. Do you remember how many we had?
I prefer the songs. I like you guys to sing a little bit.
Or get your kids to sing or something. You know, something
that's
creative.
Always a winner.
Your
and
horses?
Does somebody get a prize if like one person who calls in get a prize? Like, what's
well,
the,
this
what's
is interesting. I've been putting this together. We are going to have a prize every hour for all 12 hours.
Ooh.
And our good friends, as she was here last couple weeks ago from Benefab. Remember, Kat was sat in on with us.
Yeah.
Benefab and Soar No More are donating a grand prize at the end of the day worth over $600.
Oh my gosh!
So I've been adding it up yesterday. I was putting all this together because it's quite a feat, and we're going to have over $2,500 worth of prizes that day. So it is a big time. We're not talking little time here. These are some serious prizes that we're putting together. I know I just got a commitment yesterday from one of our sponsors, Total Saddle Fit, who has the shoulder relief girths. Well, they run like $125, $150 each, and he's donating two that day.
Oh, my gosh. I need one of those.
I know. And I'm telling you what. What's that?
Am I eligible? I'll use a pseudonym.
I know.
Yes, you can. You if you can sing a song that will win, yes. And what we're going to do?
Oh, I can sing a song that wins. I'll win American Idol. Come on, let's do this.
Yeah, well, I'm not too worried if you sing a song that you're going to actually win. We actually do have more talented singers in our audience than you, Jamie. I'm just saying.
I mean, the weather outside is frightful.
Now, we want you to get clever, you know, get fun. You remember the fun ones we had? Look at Lisa Kelly up there, ice road trucker, pulled off her ice road in her truck and wrote a poem for us.
She's bored. She just drives. She had time.
By the way, today she's expected to hit 500,000 followers on Facebook, Lisa Kelly. So good for her. Anyway, we just wanted to get thinking about that. We'll have more announcements next week. We'll give you the phone numbers. We want you to really step up here, people. And this includes you Sweden people. We want to hear you sing in Swedish. We don't want to hear it in English. We want to hear it in Swedish, okay? Because we don't ever get to hear that. So you're on the and you know, all those listeners in Morocco or wherever the heck else you listen. Russia.
I'll sing in Swedish.
Yeah, we know. We know you can.
Shoulders back.
It's going to sound like the Swedish chef on the Muppets, isn't it?
You can sing back up. You'll go.
We should do that. That'd be pretty good.
Let's get to the ads. Everybody's going to participate. We'll have the phone numbers for you next week. And I can't wait to hear what you guys come up with.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to.
It seems so long since we've done this.
He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading.
Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware.
Horse trading.
They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine arts.
That is right. It's time for Really Bad Ads, the time of the week everybody looks forward to. And we are going to be giving away an unbelievable prize today, and Jennifer's going to tell us about it.
Today's prize is provided by Monty Roberts. It is a saddle pad made by Cavallo Horse and Rider that will fit a barrel, endurance, or a stock saddle. It's shaped to fit your horse's top line, allowing ample wither space. The memory foam ensures that pressure and weight are not continual, but yielding. Excellent for sports that require lateral flexion, and what sport doesn't? The tri-density solution combined with fine finishing details, including genuine leather butt joints, nylon bindings, and aeration perforations, provides the ultimate saddle pad and fit, benefiting both horse and rider.
Now, we had a winner win one of these before, and they was it Lindsay Rausch? Do you guys remember? She posted it on our Facebook page, and now I can't find it, a picture of it. But it's a really nice pad. Yeah, it was Lindsay Rausch. It's a really nice pad worth $165. Now, the only caveat is you have to pay the shipping from Monty's
Big
place.
Big deal.
It's like $10. So you don't have to worry about that. It's a $165 pad. If you ride English, I'm sure you know somebody who rides Western. This would be an excellent Christmas gift. So
no, this is not a I swear, and I still contend that every English rider
has a Western saddle
yeah. somewhere that we trail right in. It just, you got to have one just for the back for when the times you just want to pony a horse, whatever. You don't get popped off the tack. If you don't have one, now you're going to have a really nice Western pad. So you're going to have to get a Western saddle. So that's how it has to be. You cannot go outside right now. You will bark. Stop it.
Now, let's tell us about Equity.
All right, Equity, you guys, so it's that time of the year where my mother-in-law, she considers herself very practical, and she wants to buy a present for every one of the, you know, kids or in-law, you know, kid-in-law, whatever. So she always says, what do you guys want for Christmas? And she literally wants us to go online and shop and send her a link to something that we want.
Yeah, we have a mother-in-law like that, too.
I think everybody knows somebody like that, and if you don't, you're unlucky.
If we don't do it by June the 1st, we're late.
Well, I'm kind of in the throes of doing it right now for my mother-in-law. She's like, give me the link. And I sent her this beautiful link to this Breeders' Cup American Pharoah jacket, the Champions Collection.
For
I really
$500.
Want it. Yeah, it's like $1 billion. Or... that makes the shake and fork look a little bit better. The shake and fork, the flex and fork. You guys definitely put this on your Christmas list if you don't have one. The flex and fork is just, it's got a suspension system. It's just, it's a $59.95 and you have to pay for shipping and it's totally worth it. I've had mine for years. They don't break like the other ones break. You know, you keep one of those for 6 months and I have one that's broken with the one tine missing just to realize how much it pisses me off. And then I appreciate my flex and fork a little more. And these damn kids that get out here, I'm like, give me my flex and fork back. You're not old enough to use that. You haven't suffered like the rest of us.
Not mature enough for a flex and fork.
You're not mature enough for it. And putting duct tape around, nothing works to fixing those. You just have to like throw the whole thing out and buy a new one. So for the price of two of those crappy ones, you can get a flex and fork that will last you years. I've had mine 4 years now. Yeah, seriously, 4 years, one fork. And I use it every day.
There you go.
You can check it out at equitymfg.com. They have different heads on it. So like different tine links if you have minis or if you have need a sand rake, if you own a golf course, you know, because horse people own golf courses, you can use that. They have all sorts of stuff. So Equity,
yeah, I know a ton of the horse people who own golf courses.
My husband wishes this was a golf course. God. So check
you
it out.
You already have the sand traps. You'd be fine.
I know.
All right, you lead the day. This is the names we're using are the people who actually submitted the ads, not the interesting people who wrote them.
Yes, I'm going to let this dog out. Zenyatta is staring at me.
I'll lead the day then.
The door's right here, but I just want to let you know that if barking starts immediately, I'm going to be really mad. I'm going to yell at her, so you're going to hear that. Hold on. Go
outside. And see, now I can picture Jamie's house and what she's doing because I've been there. I know exactly the layout and exactly what you're doing.
No. You can't tell if she wants to go outside and poop or bark. Like, she's like, I need to go outside right now. There's something.
Yeah. Same face. That's the problem with dogs.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
There's no difference.
Same face.
Super fancy bay thoroughbred for sale spelled incorrectly. And Uta sent this one in. This is in Chillicothe. It's Ohio, I think. I am offering for your consideration, starting out good. I am offering for your consideration a 2008 off-the-track thoroughbred gelding. Oh, no, let me get this right. For your consideration, a 2008 OTTB gelding. OTTB means it's an ex-racehorse. If you did not know that, you probably do not need to read any further. Thoroughbreds, also misspelled, are not for everyone. So at least get thoroughbred spelled if you're schooling people. If you're giving people a lesson in thoroughbreds, at least spell it right. Okay, let me move on. Vlad stands at 17.
Vlad the Impaler?
Vlad the Impaler stands at 17 one hands and is relatively easy to handle on the ground. Under saddle, you can tell he is an ex-racehorse. He will require an advanced rider or intermediate if working with a trainer. He has truly royal bloodlines, which includes Secretariat, among others.
Yeah, they all do.
Do not let that influence your decision, though. He can at times be a bully in the pasture and is turned out only by himself. Vlad is currently being offered for sale at $2,000. His only vice is that he cribs and he weaves, and he is a hard keeper and he needs a lot of grain, and he's also on joint fat and calming supplements.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't that about 12 vices? He's a bully, he cribs, he weaves, he's a hard keeper, he needs a lot of grain, and he's on 12 supplements.
Are you selling Norman already?
This is Norman, except for the cribbing.
It's his only vice. Don't worry about any of that.
Oh my God, it's Norman for sale without the cribbing. That's crazy. Okay. His only vice is that he cribs and weaves. He's a hard keeper. He needs a lot of grain, and he's also on joint fat and calming supplements. I am open to offers.
I bet you are.
I just need him moved as soon as possible. My situation has changed. I may consider trading for a calm horse.
Of course you are. Of course you would. Yeah.
And not a thoroughbred that I can actually ride. I also would consider a new car.
That's a good one. God. Udo, you always come up with some great ones in Ohio there, I gotta say.
That is awesome.
Catherine sent this one in. Beautiful golden palomino. Ooh. Stunning 6-year-old golden palomino gelding. Mane and tail are silver white plus perfectly shaped star on the forehead. Hooves are jet black and shine without polish. Herod is a very rare and desirable horse, the same as many, many famous horses on TV and movies. Most TV and movie horses available right now are blacks, so you will get work. Only for sale due to me not being able to take him to Nevada with me. $8,000 firm. Edit. This is where you can change the ad. I do not know if he is rideable, if he ties or hauls or any of that stuff. This is a movie horse, not a riding horse.
What on earth is apparently a movie horse?
I don't know. Apparently they've never seen the horse because they don't even know if it stands or ties or hauls or nothing. It's a movie horse, Jamie. You don't ride movie horses. Everybody knows that.
I am so confused right now. And I'm assuming this is why Catherine sent this to us, because she was equally as confused. If somebody can please tell me the difference between a horse and a movie horse.
And a movie horse.
Please.
And apparently you don't ride movie horses. Because we have never seen anybody ever ride a horse in a movie, ever.
No.
No.
It doesn't happen. I mean, but like, how do you own this horse and you can't take it Nevada with you because you don't know if it ties or trailers or hauls or rides or anything? What have you been doing with it? I mean, at least you've groomed its beautiful, luxurious white mane.
What do you think the chances are this is stolen? We should check Stolen Horses International for this one.
See, Jen, get on that right now. Google, go to Net Posse and see if there's a missing movie horse.
Movie horse.
Palomino looks like,
you know,
Trigger.
What this really is? They stole the stuffed Trigger.
Oh, maybe.
Probably.
That's what it is.
That's it.
It's really quiet.
Well, you know, the stuffed Trigger would tie. I would say.
I mean, seriously. Shelly sent in the next one. Oh, gosh. Shelly, thank you. Are you looking for a mini mare? One who runs like the wind when she sees you coming with a halter? Well, I have got the mare for you, my friend. Her name is Booger Red. She is 31
Did
inches
you say booger?
Tall. Yeah, booger. Booger. She is 31 inches tall and she won't come up to be fed unless you are on the other side of the fence. She has been tricked enough. Forget trimming her feet. You have to. Oh God. I would like to apologize to Monty and Debbie right now for saying this next sentence. You have to rope her to even get a halter on. Don't even ask if she has any bad habits, because she is perfect in every way. Just perfect for who, I haven't figured out yet. $850 firm. No tire kickers, because the next time I have to catch her for somebody, it will be the last. Bring your own halter.
Oh my. I don't know if we need to say anything more about that ad. It pretty much says it all.
$850.
I know. That's what I was thinking for a mini that doesn't like people.
Oh my gosh. Poor thing. Good ad, Shelley.
Cape Waves. Cape Waves sent this one in. Beautiful, crazy thoroughbred mare, $700 in Stafford. I have an absolutely beautiful 15.2 thoroughbred mare that I am unable to do anything with. Boy, there's a trend today. This normally sweet 8-year-old gal has a wild streak that I just can't handle. She was raced one time and retired. Again, I could probably convert this to a personal ad. She is very green broke with a perfect build for jumpers. She sometimes rears when tacking and mounting with no sign at all. She loads easily. I believe a more experienced rider could mold her properly. Of course you do. Let me stress that this beautiful horse is crazy. Feel free to come ride at your own risk. Please, experienced riders and adults only. I will not do any trials, lease, or any other creative ideas you have. It's simple. You give me cash, you get a crazy horse. So hook up your trailer and come on out.
It's like they're writing these ads for me today.
That's change pretty that to much, gelding and you just got Joey. Yeah.
That's pretty much what Norman's ad said. It was like, this horse is dangerous. It's like people are, as opposed to lying in ads, the trend now is to
brutally honest.
Be brutally honest. And like Norman's ad was like, this horse is dangerous.
So as not to get sued or feel totally guilty when the person's like paralyzed in the hospital.
And idiots like me see that ad and they're like,
I need that one.
It's like dating a guy. Yeah. Who has a problem? Like, I can fix him.
Yes.
I can fix him. I need to date that guy. If
you change the first sentence a little bit, I have an absolutely beautiful girlfriend that I'm able to do anything with.
Yeah.
She has a wild streak that I just can't handle. You could change it. My gosh. Oh, that was great, Cape Waves, Kansas.
Let's go ahead and start putting your name in them. Cape Waves. Yeah. We'll know who you are. Jody sent in the next one. Jody has our trailer of the week, and it is just beautiful. It is a two-horse trailer.
Of course.
In Crooksville. Of course. It's a two-horse round front 1950s trailer. Selling two-horse trailer needs some work, not perfect or the prettiest, but minor fixes and all can be repaired. There are a few rust spots. And it does have broken shackle. What's a broken?
What is a shackle?
I don't know either.
It's springs.
Broken shackle. Lights don't work. And one tire doesn't hold air for more than 2 hours.
Well, as long as you're a short trip, you're good.
It does haul nice down the road when the tire is full.
That's true of most horse trailers.
I have hauled horses in it. I just don't have time to fix it, and 3 out of my 4 horses don't fit in it, so I'm open to trades or make any offer. So fill it up and take it home.
Yes.
Just make sure you don't live more than two hours away.
They don't have tire stores where they live.
No.
Edna sent – Jennifer's going to post that one on Facebook for your pleasure. Edna sent this one in. Old fence boards to trade for horses in Northern Virginia. We have some used wooden fencing materials. If you have a horse you don't want, we will probably trade for it. No strings attached. Well, maybe a few strings. We'll not take anything less than 4 years old. We'll not take anything very skinny. We'll not take any gray horses. We'll need to pick up the horse you pay for gas. So just a few strings. But other than that, we got some fencing you will love. Just give us your horse.
I'm sad for that horse. I know. Over 4-year-old, fat, not gray horse that they're going to get. God, you got the next one.
I do. Allison sent the following one in. Large, beautiful mare, great horse for a man.
Oh, Lord.
10-year-old bay draft cross trail horse. will go through anything, has been harnessed and line driven. And that sounds wonderful until you get to the last line. Not for beginners, too much horse, and I can't afford to miss work.
So basically, I'm a woman, and it's trying to kill me.
Yeah, it's trying to kill me, and I can't afford broken bones right now. So if you're a man, come and take this horse away for free.
Please get it. Yeah. Please come get it.
There is a trend today, isn't there?
I know, it is. It's like these. It's just too honest. Patty sent in the next one. Thank you, Patty. New, I think. Foxtrotter gelding for sale, $300. 14-year-old Foxtrotter gelding for sale, $300 sorrel with four white stockings. Very pretty and in good flesh. Stands for farrier, just trims. Loads, leads, and bathes very well. Hauls great. Coggins taken this month. Now the bad. This guy has an attitude. He has a very smooth walk and foxtrot, crosses bridges, water, etc. without a problem. Not a spooky horse, no problems tacking him up.
Well, where's the problem then?
We're getting to it. Oh. He can give you a very nice ride if he wants to. Problem is, if he decides he doesn't want to be ridden, then you are in for an argument from him. He will turn cold-backed on you and try to intimidate his way out of being ridden. He also likes to move it on out to be the lead horse, and I am too darned old and fat for his attitude. I raised two teenagers with attitudes. I'm not going to argue with a horse that has one. The honesty is just awesome today. Funny how everything
they're writing our lines for us today.
Yeah, they are. If you're an experienced, excellent rider, this guy may be the guy for you to take and to enjoy or make money off of him after you get his attitude adjusted. I just can't do it anymore. $300 and I'm losing my ass at that price. If interested, call or email. This chick wants this horse gone.
Gone, out of here. Oh, God.
Get out of here.
They are writing our ads for us today.
Yeah.
Ruth sent the following one in. Is seeking sport horse prospect. I am looking to trade a pair of registered Nigerian dwarf dairy goats. Yes, I said a pair of Nigerian dwarf dairy goats for a horse sport or pony prospect.
A sport horse?
Yes.
You want to trade two goats for a warm blood?
Yes. Looking mostly for thoroughbreds or thoroughbred crosses.
Oh, okay. There
but
you
I
go.
Would consider most anything. Ages 2 to 10, prefer a taller horse. May consider purchasing or partial trade as well for the right horse. I am looking for a horse that would excel in dressage and eventing. Let me know what you have for my two registered Nigerian dwarf dairy goats.
Man.
Well, we just found about a half a dozen of them in the ads above.
Yes,
so
yes, perfect ones.
Oh my gosh, though, like who trades goats for a sport horse?
These aren't just any goats, Jamie. They're dwarf goats. They stand about 1 inch tall.
They're tiny.
How much milk do you get out of a dwarf dairy goat?
How bad does that person's back hurt?
Bending over to milk them?
Dwarf dairy goats.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a first.
Come here, I got to lay down and milk you. Oh, my God. They're smaller than minis. I mean,
they are. They're tiny. You look them up. They put them up on tables to milk them. It's so funny.
That's probably what they do, yeah. Gemma sent in this next one. This is our last one. Then we got to pick a winner. Oh, to God, they're so good. So, Glenn, start looking through them.
Okay.
5-year-old grade mare. Oh, gosh, the honesty is just so great today. 5-year-old grade mare. I bought this horse under the impression that she was flat broke and just didn't like to chase cows. Turns out that's a lie. I know because I've been riding her for 3 weeks every single day, and here's the real deal on this mare. She has an attitude. If you ask her to work, she'll give you attitude until you show her who's boss. She needs a riding buddy. If you ask her to go one way and she doesn't want to, you'll have a butt of a fight. She needs foundation work done. She needs foundation work done, and I don't have an arena or round pen to do it in. She learns fast and is a good horse when she's not playing Battle of the Boss. I don't have time for her attitude or the patience. I will consider a trade for a mature cow that is a good milker.
How about some goats?
Goats!
Yeah, have some milking goats. Two of them ought to get about the same amount as a cow.
Oh my gosh, how funny.
Jennifer, do you arrange these that they're all similar every week when we do this?
I'm telling you, I just randomly click on ads that people have submitted.
You can't. There's no way you would take her 6 hours to get this. I almost think we should just pick out the one that is the most honest. Like, who says the worst stuff about... I mean, Uta's ad was so dang funny with Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah. I also liked Catherine's, though, who is Herod, who has no vices but the six that they listed.
Yeah.
That's the movie horse. Yes, yes. And then we got the movie horse. Oh, man.
Vlad is cribs and weave. His only vice is that he cribs, weaves, he's a hard keeper, eats a lot of grain, he's on supplements. The Golden Palomino movie horse is just not a riding horse. The mini mare runs like the wind when it sees you coming. You can't catch it on the same side of the fence. You got to rope it. Every one of these. The beautiful, crazy thoroughbred mare that has a wild streak that can't handle. The one with the teenagers that I've broke teenagers. I ain't got time for the horse. I will not take anything skinny gray horses or pick up the horse. I will not take anything, but there's no strings attached. Oh my gosh, these are too funny. I don't know which one to pick.
I don't know who to pick either.
I'm picking Cape Waves.
Cape Waves?
Cape Waves.
All right.
This beautiful horse, it's crazy!
It's crazy! Yeah, that was very honest ad. You wanted the honest ad? Let me stress, this beautiful horse is crazy in capital letters.
I can't find that one. I'm looking
It's Cape Waves, Kansas, okay, that we don't have the name for. Yes. You hook it up to your trailer and you come on out.
Oh, this is the one with, yes. I will not do trials, leases, or any other creative ideas you have. Give me the cash. You get a crazy
You
horse.
Get the hell out of off my property.
That's
crazy
the most
horse.
Honest, I yes. think. You win.
Cape Waves, Kansas, you win this. You win the wonderful saddle pad from Monty Roberts, and also Cavallo have sponsored that ad. We'll get your name, because obviously we need that too. So Jennifer will be in contact with you. Congratulations on winning on a very tough day. This is good ads.
Oh
today.
My gosh, but honorable mention goes to Uta and Vlad and Shelly and the Mini and Catherine. Oh my gosh, these were all so good.
They were. It was a tough day. Tough day. Well, that was great ads to come back with. We hadn't done this in a couple of weeks, so that was fun. And we'll be back, of course, on Monday. Now, are you doing anything over the weekend? Got anything going?
Oh my gosh. Are you sitting down?
Yes, I am sitting down.
So I was going to take Thor to another little dressage schooling thing. It was more of a practice thing.
You hadn't won enough blue ribbons? You were going to go clean up again?
It was a little clinic thing, dressage clinic. But they didn't have enough people sign up.
They didn't
up,
have so a category for Mustangs?
No, they didn't. They didn't have enough people sign up, so they canceled it. So I was already taking all these girls, and I was already going to spend the money, and I was already going to go to this one particular facility that has a cross-country course. So Thor is getting his first cross country day on Sunday.
Have you ever jumped him? Doesn't he like not pick up his feet?
Well, somebody suggested that I just jump him cross country and he'll learn to pick. He's been doing really well, actually. I jumped him a whole 2'3" last night. So what?
And
that's
right. Did he knock them all over? Or did
no, he's getting better, Glenn. They don't. Okay. They all start out terrible with me, but they learn. They start out crazy and bad, and then I just patiently tick away at them until they just give up.
That's how you got Chad.
She just won't go away.
That's how
just
you got Chad. That's what he told me when I chatted
pretty
with him.
Pretty much, yeah.
She just wouldn't go away. I had to give up. I figured I might as well just live with her.
They give up. It's the same with the horses as the husband. They just eventually give up. And so, yes, Thor has given up hopefully he has completely given up the running. I guess I'll find out on Sunday. Hell. So, yes, Thor is doing his first cross-country schooling. They will probably be the pre-comp, which is like 2 foot and smaller. But that's okay. You got to start somewhere.
Are you going up over those mountains to Coconut, whatever the heck neck they
no,
made by forest
we're only-
is?
We're going to the closest cross country course to my house is about 45 minutes to an hour away. So we're going to go there.
Well, it'll be flat. You won't have to worry about hills, right?
Exactly. It's very flat.
Well, good luck with that. We'll be all anxious to hear how that went on Monday.
Ah, yeah. Thank you.
Wear your all best. Right. Okay.
No worries about that. I annoy them enough. They eventually give in.
That's a line of the week right there.
That's pretty much my life.
Everybody, thank you so much. Remember, you can listen to our recorded version of our show on our app, iOS or Android. Just search for it, Horse Radio Network.
Oh, real quick, by the way, on last Monday, you played one of the recap episodes, you know, or one of the classic episodes, you call it. And Jet's new owner has started listening to the show.
Oh, no.
And the episode
was it about Jet's jet.
It was about taking Jet to a horse show and
him and
his antics at the beginning.
Oh no.
And she came to the farm and she's like, "I just have to tell you, I woke up this morning so mad at you. I could not believe that you took Jet to a horse show without me. And why was he behaving so badly?" And then she goes on to listen and listen and listen and realizes it's a classic. But she was like totally freaked out.
Oh, that you took her horse to a horse show.
I was like, "Amazing, I'm sorry, I didn't do it. I swear, they just did that." She was like, "I didn't know he was that." I was like, "I told you everything, you know. But no, I didn't take him to a horse show this weekend without telling him about it." Anyway, there's your weekend. Everybody have a great one.
All right, everybody, when you listen to the beginning of the show, Jennifer says it's a rerun. So pay attention to that part, okay?
Yeah.
Especially Jennifer's, or especially Jamie's students.
My students and boarders, you all own my old horses.
Yes.
Okay?
So
you
could
can go
be
back
3 years old. And you probably, if she says the name of your horse at the beginning of it, you don't want to know. So just
don't listen
that day.
I just encourage them not to listen, period. I talk about them a lot anyway.
See, the problem with that is you tell somebody not to do something, and then they do it. Tell them to listen, and they won't.
Everybody out there, tell your friends not to listen to this horse show.
That's right. Tell them not to listen, because it's terrible. It sucks.
It's terrible.
We'll see y'all on Monday, along with all our new listeners.
Spader to gallop. Bye, guys. I'll start saving. $200,000.
$200,000. You don't have a mare. You're going to need one of those, too.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful one available in Stafford.
I can trade my goats.
There you go. Your neighbor's goats.